You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Good to pray. You know, prayer is a powerful weapon. It's offensive, it's defensive, it's everyfensive. Prayer is a powerful weapon, you know that? I need you to know that, church. Today we told you you'd come and we'd talk about prayer, and we absolutely are going to. Prayer was a weapon in Genesis. Prayer was a weapon in Kings. Prayer was a weapon in the Proverbs, in the Psalms, the Song of Solomon's. All throughout the Old Testament, prayer is a weapon. You know that? It's a weapon. You may be sitting here to say, and today thinking, I don't pray much, or I don't pray at all except for at church. Don't feel bad, but be inspired. That doesn't have to be next week's story. Amen. Prayer is a weapon. Jesus prayed. He told us how to pray. He told us to pray. Jesus came and made prayer better now than it ever was before. He made prayer better after the cross than it was before the cross, because now in our earthly struggle to be better, He still hears us. I don't know where you are or what you've been through or what you've been doing, but right now, because of the cross, in the middle of your deepest, darkest, most horrendous moment, God hears your prayers because of what Jesus did on the cross. Someone say amen. Even in the middle, in the moment of our sin, His ear is open to us because Jesus went to the Father and blew a gigantic hole in the curtain that separated us from God. And so now He hears us. Now we can boldly enter God's presence. We can boldly ask for God's will to be done and for things to change on earth and in heaven. Amen. See, Scripture says that the prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. But before Jesus came, we weren't that righteous man and we weren't that righteous woman. But then Jesus came and paid the price for our sin up on the cross. Scripture says that now by His choice, He makes us righteous. We are righteous. And so even in the middle of our daily struggles with sin, with faith, with hope, we're still righteous. You're still righteous, my friend. Come on, touch your neighbor, say, that's you, you're righteous. So your prayer is powerful. Your prayer is effective. Somebody needs to praise Jesus right now. Come on, someone needs to praise Jesus right now. Because no matter what you got going on, you're still righteous according to God. Amen. That's worth praising Him over. Can I get an amen? Amen. Would you turn with me to today's word from God? It's Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 to 16. Now, I hope you keep staying awake. You've been good so far. You've been good. So my voice is a little funky today, but I tell you what, I can get through it if you'll encourage me. All right, I can get through it. If I say something that's good, you better agree. Or like I got that ongoing threat about just printing my sermon notes and not preaching if you don't encourage me when I'm up here, right? So come on, make sure you yell at me in the sermon. Someone say, I'll yell at you. Good, I believe you because you said it. Awesome. Let me set this passage up for you before we get to reading Exodus 17. Here's Israel wandering around in a wilderness of sin. Scripture says that they were in the wilderness of sin. You ever been there? I've been there, wandering around in my own wilderness, brought on by my own sin. And immediately after this wilderness of sin, they find themselves without water at a place called rest. The Hebrew word was rephidim, but it means rest. So they find themselves at a place called rest. God miraculously provides for them with water from a stone. See, they're at this place called rest with no water, nothing. But it's called rest. That makes no sense, right? God miraculously provides for them water from a stone that Moses whacked with a stick. It was a staff that he was carrying, the same staff that he used to whack the Nile River when they were in Egypt. Remember the story? Moses goes to Pharaoh, sings his little song. Pharaoh, Pharaoh, baby, let my people go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know the song, right? Yeah, Moses wrote the song, right? When that was going on, and Moses said, heck no, Moses. Sorry, Pharaoh said, heck no, Moses, you ain't going. So Moses uses his staff and he whacks the river, and the river turns to blood. So he takes that same staff now, many years later, and he whacks the stone, and water comes out. Now check this out. They were in the wilderness of sin, in the middle of their own sin, stuff that's this desert that's brought on by their own decision making, and they have no water, and they find themselves at a place called rest, and God provides them with water and rest and nourishment from the same staff that turned the Nile River to blood before they ever even went into the wilderness of sin. So over here is the Nile River turning to blood. Here is when they walk into the wilderness of sin. And over here is when they find themselves at a place called rest. Now I believe right now, if you're in the middle of a battle, if you're in the middle of a wilderness of sin, I believe God revealed this to me to remind you that before you ever even entered into the wilderness of sin, that Jesus Christ already paid the price over here with his blood on the cross. Amen. His blood was spilled when a spear, aka a staff that whacked a stone, was jammed in his side on the cross, and blood and water flowed out. Just like on both sides of Israel's sin, blood in the river, water from the stone, God wants you to know that before you ever even entered into your sin, that he paid the price for it. Amen. That's worth praising God for. That means praise God, if you're wondering what I'm saying. It's already paid for. And because before you even entered into the wilderness of sin, Jesus Christ paid the price for your sin before it ever happened. That means that you are the righteous man, that you are the righteous woman that James talks about when he said that the prayers of the righteous man are powerful and effective. You are that man. You are that woman. Your prayers are righteous. Your prayers are powerful. Your prayers are effective. I think that's better preaching than I'm getting amening right now. I'm just going to say that out there, and you can choose to do with it what you want. Now check this out. Funny enough, immediately after getting to this place called rest and being reminded that that wilderness of sin that they've just come out of, that it's been paid for by God already. After being reminded of that, after God gives them rest, water, nourishment, immediately after that, a tribe of nomads, warriors, thieves, who were one of Israel's biggest antagonists at the time, come to attack them, come to hurt them, come to ridicule them. Their names were the Amalekites, who happened to be the descendants of Esau, who was tricked and betrayed by Israel many, many years earlier, before they even got to Egypt. Way before then, Israel hurt, offended, and deceived Esau. Esau's descendants, the Amalekites, now come and catch up with Israel. Isn't it funny how deceit and trickery will one day catch up with you? Deceit and trickery has a way of finding its way back to you, doesn't it? And so here Israel, after being refreshed and nourished by God, and after being reminded by God that you're forgiven and I'm with you, an old sin catches up to them. So we'll pick up the story here, where a sin, a deceit from the past, a past mistake, has brought them a battle that they absolutely were not tough enough to endure. A battle that Israel brought on themselves. Ever been there? Something's happening to you and you're like, I know I did this to myself. I know, but I knew when I said that to them that they were going to sue me. I knew that when I hit that guy, he was going to hit me back. Ever been there in a spot where you've done something and it catches back up to you? Maybe you're there right now. Check out the story, Exodus 17, starting at verse 8. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim, at rest. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses' hands were up, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And then Aaron and Hur on each side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. They held his hands. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord God said to Moses, "Write this down as something to be remembered. Make sure that Joshua hears about it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and he called it, "The Lord is my banner." Because hands were lifted up against the throne of God, the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. Now, I've been pretty excited about this. Right now, it says they were at rest. I'm kind of picturing King David writing the psalm saying that you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I'm just chilling out down here. And then some guy thinks he's going to come have a go at me. I'm just picturing that right now. See, I'm excited about what this all represents. Are you in the middle of a battle? Is there something happening in your life? See, this story shows us some great keys about what we got to do and how we got to approach things so that we can see victory in our lives. And if you're in the middle of a battle, if something's happening, maybe it's a battle that you didn't deserve, or maybe it's something that you brought on yourself. Either way, God is showing us here that, hey, if something of your past catches up to you, I want you to remember that now I'm here with you. So even though you brought this thing on yourself, I'm going to stand here with you, and by my power, you're going to win and have a victory. Amen. A believer doesn't have to fear a believer's past. Come on, do you hear that? A believer doesn't have to fear the believer's past. Because while it would have wiped you out before you met the Lord, now it has no hope. You can sit down, have a steak, and drink that water that come out of that stone and say, "My God is for me." Amen. Now, I've been excited about this story. I've been really pumped about it, but I've still got three more things that I want to tell you about it before we end. Is that okay? I want to tell you right now, are you in a battle? Have you been in a battle before? Is there a battle on its way? I have had battles in my life. Some of them big, some of them small. Some of them might seem insignificant now, but felt like a mountain at the time. You know the types of things I'm talking about? When I was in high school, which I know is a very long time ago, I can't believe that I've now been out of school long enough for someone to go through school from start to finish. That breaks my heart, college included. When I was in high school, it was a long time ago, but I share it because there's young people in here who will be blessed by this. I was invited on a camping trip with some friends of friends. And I went for just one night because I had to milk the cows the next morning. Sorry, the next afternoon. Now, that one night, there was some stuff going on that I knew that I should not be a part of. Have you ever been somewhere and had that happen, right? You're like, something's going on here. I should not be a part of that. I should not get involved with that. But there I was, and they were friends, or at least friends of friends. I got invited to go again with them 2 weeks later. And you know what? Funny thing was, I wanted to go. You know, you usually want to do things that aren't good for you, right? Tend to want to do that, don't we? I shouldn't do it, but sometimes I wanted to do anyway. So I go out for just the afternoon this next time as well, because I had to milk 380 cows the next morning this time at 5 a.m. By the way, if you're complaining about getting up to get to work by 9 o'clock, no. You can figure that out, all right? I had to get up at 5 a.m. to milk the cows the next morning, so I just went for an afternoon. And it all started unfolding again, the same stuff that I'm like, I shouldn't get involved in this. But what began to happen was I was getting closer and closer and closer to doing some things that I wanted to do but didn't want to do. Do you know what I'm saying? Kind of like Paul the Apostle saying, I keep doing the things I don't want to do while continually not doing the things I should do. Have you ever been like that in your life? You're like, come on now, I just keep doing this thing and I know that I shouldn't. I know I shouldn't talk about people behind their backs, but I just keep doing it. I know I should be encouraging and praying for people, but I just keep talking about them instead, right? I was in that kind of zone. So anyway, they were doing another trip, and it was for 3 nights, and I was planning to go on the next trip. I'm like, blow it, I'm just gonna do this. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of just not getting involved in everything, so I'm just gonna go and hang out with them for this next 3-night trip. I'm gonna organize a relief milker to milk the cows for me. Funny thing happened. I was at youth on a Friday night. I was gonna head out after youth. Couldn't skip youth because Matt would tell my dad. So I was at youth on Friday night, and Pastor Matt Briggs calls me out and says, Jesse, I have a word from God for you. And I'm like, well, this is gonna be interesting. And he just goes, Jesse, the battle is spiritual. The battle is spiritual. And it floored me that day because I knew what was going on in my life at that time. See, I thought if I just resist a little bit, things will be all right? I thought if I just put up a bit of resistance, that I'll be able to handle this. And now all of a sudden, a few weeks later, I find myself wanting this, right? Because the battle is spiritual. See, physical resistance without spiritual persistence only brings a temporary relief into your life. And I realized that night that the battle was spiritual and the devil wanted to take me out. There are things that were happening there that if I did get involved in, I might not actually be here right now. So I didn't go on that next camping trip, and I started to pray that God would protect me and my mind. I spent that whole weekend hanging out with my youth pastor, just hanging out, camping in his backyard with a couple of guys from church. It was good fun. We did that instead. I want you to write this down. Are you ready? The battle is won with spiritual weapons. The battle is won with spiritual weapons. You've got to stop relying only on earthly wisdom and earthly ideas to defeat spiritual enemies. You hear me? If something in your past is catching up to you, like Israel, you've got to know now the past is paid for. So Israel's got this thing catching up to them. The Amalekites are coming towards them. Esau's descendants, who they wronged so much earlier, their very namesake Israel is what started this battle. So the past is catching up. You've got to know that your past is paid for. Before it was even committed, it was paid for on the cross. Amen. So when the past comes knocking on your door, you've got to remind it who's in charge now. If you're facing ruin and destruction, you've got to fight the spiritual battle. Don't give up on the physical battle either. Said they won with the sword. They won with the physical battle because Moses was fighting the spiritual battle. You need to do both, amen? You can't sit down and go, I'm definitely going to get that house over there. Give it to me, God. But not put an offer on it. You got to do both, amen? Don't give up on either. Spiritual battles, physical battles, fight them both. But the battle is won in the spiritual. The second thing I want you to write down is this. The battle is won with spiritual relationships. You hear me? We just can't get away from that, can we? This is what, like 5 weeks in a row that somehow that relationships has entered into the sermon, right? You can't win a spiritual battle on your own. You can't win a battle by yourself, isolated, an island, standing there, taking the hits, left, right, center, every single time. Like we said a few weeks ago, you've got to identify the who. Who is the person that's going to get through this with me? Who is the person that's going to hold my hand? Who is the person that's going to pick me up when I fall down? Who is the person who's going to remind me of the promises of God in my life? My youth pastor did a great job of that when I was in youth. But I also had friends, Andy Mellon, Cameron Reed, Michael Geerling, people who would say, hey, Jesse, don't do that. Remember what God's got planned for your life. You've got to identify the who. Now, Moses couldn't possibly hold his hands up all day on his own. Some of y'all can't even lift your hands up in worship. Right? Afraid of what people might think. Or maybe they get a little tired after 8 seconds. Moses holding his hands up all day. All day. All day. Are you catching what I'm throwing? All day. He couldn't do that possibly on his own. But Aaron and Hur could help. They could inspire him. They could remind him that, yo, Moses, when you pull those hands down, 100 Israelites are going to die. Don't drop your hands. I know it hurts, but keep on going. You need those people in your life. You need to identify the who. Who is my guy? Who is my gal that's going to walk through this with me so that you can be just like it says in James. Confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. Because we need each other. You need a friend. You need a mentor. You need a connect group leader. You need someone to go and have dinner with, have lunch with. You need someone you can hug without making a joke about whether or not it's gay to hug a friend. Come on now. You need a friend. You need people to hug you, to pray for you, to high-five you, to encourage you, to worship God with you, to pray for you. You need a friend. Can someone say amen? Good, because that was good preaching. You need to write this down as well. Are you there? Have you got your pens out? You got your notebooks ready? You're good to go? The battle is won with spiritual perseverance. It's won with spiritual perseverance. Can I have the band come back up here? I'm almost ready to go and pray for people. Even when someone else is holding your hands up, it starts to hurt. If Pastor Ed holds my hand up here for a while, the blood's still draining out of my hands. It's going to get numb. It's going to start to tingle. It's going to start to hurt. Even when someone else is standing there with you, you need perseverance. I don't want to be the Christian that can't even bother to experience the discomfort of waking up early to pray when my family's in the middle of a battle. Hey, I'm not saying you got to get up at 5 a.m. every day. I'm not even saying it's 5 a.m. But hey, if you're in the middle of a battle, that's the time you might not want to care about whether you're tired or not. That's the time you might want to say, I can have a little bit of discomfort because my family's going to hell in a handbasket if I don't pray some spiritual prayers, amen? If I don't get up and get a bit spiritual and get a bit angry about what's going on, it's time for me to pray for my family. It's time for me to pray for my wife, for my husband, for my kids. Come on now, you better be willing to experience just a wee bit of discomfort to see a God-sized breakthrough in your battle, amen? Now, you don't need to find the time that's comfortable. You need to stop caring about how much comfort you can find and care more about the victory at the other end. And that's why we pray. Can I get an amen? Amen. War isn't comfortable. Ask a soldier. War ain't comfortable. Battle don't tickle. And winning doesn't come without a wee bit of effort. You got to be willing to have some spiritual perseverance in your prayer life, my friend. You got to be willing to stand up, pray, and when you're done standing, as the Word of God says, stand again and pray and pray and pray. The whole old just pray in the shower thing is wonderful. You should do that. God's seen you naked before. He doesn't mind spending time with you in the shower. It's all good. You can pray in there. But I want to tell you, when you're in the middle of the biggest battle of your life, the whole I'll just pray there when I found a couple of minutes is probably not going to cut it. Probably not going to be enough. The whole I'll just pray when I have the energy thing, That's not the attitude you need to have when the battle's coming for you. When you're in a battle, when Satan's coming after your family, with sickness, with attack, with destruction. When you got friends going through a battle in Las Vegas, when you got friends that live on Puerto Rico, when you got people in your life that feel like they're going through hell on earth, you gotta get angry enough to throw comfort out the window and pray with perseverance, amen? You gotta get angry. You gotta get passionate. You gotta get loud. You gotta get spiritual. Because as I said earlier, physical resistance without spiritual persistence only brings temporary relief, and you just end up tired and giving up. Come on, be spiritual. Be persistent. You can win this battle. Come on, touch your neighbor, look him in the eye and say, you can win this battle. Come on now, say it like you mean it. You can win this battle.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.